Atlantic Salmon Council. He said, Bruce, we turned 150,000 metric tons of fish into meal to keep them off the market so we wouldn't drive the price down. Farm fish make up 40 to 50% of the market today. What's it going to be in 10 years? Last year, we had so many pink salmon that they could not be sold, and the state of Alaska allowed the roe to be stripped out of these pink salmon. This is the first time that's ever happened because they could not sell the fish from the hatchery. Commercial fishermen and hatcheries currently owe the state over $100 million in loans, with very little being paid back. A Wall Street article last year stated that up to 400 commercial fishermen could default on their loans this coming year. My question is, how much does the hatcheries owe and how much have they paid? Hatcheries currently owe $92 million and have not repaid their loan. Commercial fishermen insist that they are being targeted, they are being reduced, their hours are being reduced that they can fish. Yet in 1996, they caught 2 million more fish in Cook Inlet than they did in 1941. Consumptive users have had many restrictions placed on them. Season limits on king salmon have been placed on all sports fishermen in Cook Inlet. Commercial fishermen do not have any limit on the number of kings that they can take up over the hill and take to the processor. Sports fishermen have had their tackle reduced, restricted, hours restricted, rivers closed during king season and other seasons. In some areas, large sections of the day have been closed where no fishing is allowed at all. Guides have been restricted from taking out clients on certain days. Personal use fishermen were forced off the beach and into the streams because they did not want the competition with commercial fishermen. And in the Kinnick Arm, it was stated that they were moved off the beach and into the streams because they were taking fish headed to streams that were having problems with returns and were in danger of losing their runs. Major changes have been made to rainbow, char, and grayling limits and fishing requirements in Cook Inlet. This is due to low numbers. Could this be because of insufficient food? Ask me how many salmon runs failed to meet their BEGs. Ask me how much data is available in Upper Cook Inlet. We are behind the power curve, folks. We need to get something done. And the Fish Initiative, I feel, will do it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Knowles. For everybody's information, the meetings that I talked about holding statewide this summer, or excuse me, this fall after the salmon seasons are over, will also include things like the Board of Fish. There are a number of proposals out there right now as to whether the Board of Fish is doing the right job, and that will all come within where we're going to be in 10, 15 years from now with our fisheries. The hatcheries will also be included in that as where we want to be in 10, 15 years with our fisheries. I think it's not just that we're going to talk about commercial fish versus sport fish this fall. We are going to talk about the Alaskan resource, fish resource, and where it's supposed to be and how we're going to make sure that it's a viable resource. Representative Hutch?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we're also going to be talking about a resolution coming up on the a ballot issue for limited entry to sport fisheries guiding. Thank you.
Yeah, that was just recently introduced, for those who don't know. That'll come up. House Bill 19, which we just passed out of the House, will also come up as a discussion because it's all part of the overall fisheries that we're talking about now. Let's come back to Juneau for a couple of people. Next on my list is Steve Strom.
My name is Steve Strom, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I am a commercial fisherman. I have been all of my life, or all of my adult life, I should say. And I oppose House Bill 149. And the people that it will impact are people like me and my children and my ex-wife, whom I have to pay support to, and everything else. And I'm just going to do the courtesy of being direct, and that's what I wanted to say. And one more thing, when Representative Corrine gave his overview of his bill. I grew up in Oregon. I fished in Oregon. I fished in California. I fished in Washington. I fished in Good News Bay, Bristol Bay, just about all up and down the West Coast. I don't believe the problems of Oregon and Washington are the problems of Alaska. I was there. I had my first boat repossessed in Oregon. I know what happened there. I was there. And it's not the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate your comments. And I appreciate your keeping it short. I think I have to admonish a few people here that with the number of people we're going to have to testify over the next while, try to keep it as short as you possibly can. Next on the list is Jerry McCune.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry McCune. I'll be representing United Fishermen of Alaska today. This issue goes very deep, and I've been listening to all the testimony, and probably get away from my testimony a little bit, but I would like to clarify on this 5% that's in the bill. This is one of the hardest things to understand, even when we had the fish initiative on the ballot. It says 5% of the statewide salmon harvest projection. What that is 150 million to 200 million fish. So the pinks and chums are driving the numbers up high. You take the 5%, that's 6 to 10 million fish. Now, you want to talk about fair, that's 1,000% increase in the sport fishing. That's how they're coming up with this number. Now, a lot of people don't want to, they go, what? What are you talking about here? We're talking about 5%. Why would you want 5% when you're already getting 89% of the kings and 30% of the coal? Because this number is based on a statewide projection, which gives you 6 to 10 million fish. And that's not the way to manage fish. You can't just say, we're going to put 6 million fish in the Kenai River next year for all the other users, and everybody else will have to hold back till that number's in there. It won't work like that. You'll devastate the river. And as we go through our talks here, I think everybody knows me around this legislature the last 5 years. If there is a big problem, I will sit down and talk it out. And I've been trying to talk to some of the guides about this issue, and it doesn't seem to work. They want to say commercial fishing is the problem. Now, we have to look bigger than just the commercial fishing. The sport fishing that you see in your packet has grown big over the last 10 years. Since the pipeline boom days went down, we're seeing guides that are now growing. So we have to look at all aspects, the commercial out here, the personal use and the sport fishermen, and the guides that are growing at a rapid rate that take a lot of salmon. So from 10 years ago, I've taken more salmon as a commercial fisherman because basically where I fish, the runs have been higher. We've had record runs. But also on the other end, it's grown to the use has gotten very high on how much they're taking. So if there's a big problem in the Mat-Su, I'll be right along the sports fishermen or anybody else to say, if those streams are really that devastated as they're telling me, then I'll get together with them and we'll try to figure out what's going on with that system. Because there isn't a fisherman in this state that would want to see a system go down. That's detrimental to my income and everybody else's interest. And sport fishermen has just as much interest as I do in taking their salmon home. But I, as a commercial fisherman, have a real problem with giving up my livelihood for somebody else that's making a living off the resource, and that's guides. Until we solve that problem and we seek to some levels on the river so we can all live with it, it's very unfair to keep pointing to the commercial fishing industry. And I'll sit down with Bruce Knowles or anybody else and we'll figure out if there's a problem there, then let's get fishing game up to Mat-Su and figure out what that problem is so we can all share in the resource. But if you start putting endangered species and mandates and all the things that need to be done, then you make this split between the commercial and the other users. We need to get together and sit down ourselves. We can have hearings and we're going to go through the same thing throughout the state. You go to Cordova, you're going to hear, we don't want this bill. You're going to go to Mat-Su, we want this bill. Somewhere along the line, we got to figure out how all the uses are affecting the rivers and how we can get along and use them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Representative
Ogan. Did you have a question, sir?
No.
Okay. Jerry, I'd like to invite you up to the Mat-Su this summer and take a look. Maybe we can get Department of Fish and Game there and get some of the people that have the concerns and sit down and have a meaningful discussion. I have to agree with you on a couple points. I think at some point we need to look at guides as a commercial use of the fish. You know, I was on the big game commercial services board. That was commercial hunting, and that to me, and as a sports fisherman, I'll be honest with you, I don't like fishing in the valley anymore because there's too many people, and I've had the best. You know, my wife was a biologist in Dillingham back before that got crowded, and I used to go up and down those rivers, and I'd run 100 miles of river, and I'd see two boats on the river, you know, and pull up to your king salmon hole, look down in there and pick out which one you want, and bump them on the nose and watch them take it and run, you know. And so to me, I just can't get cranked up about going to Deschka or going to Willow Creek and standing there elbow to elbow, okay, personally. But you know, the highest and best use for me, in my mind, is personal use and subsistence, both. You know, those of us that live in rural or urban Alaska don't qualify for subsistence, but I consider myself an urban subsistence hunter and fisherman. I feed my family with fish and game. And so that should be the number one best use, and maybe we can look at some areas in this bill or some other modality that we can prioritize that use and address the commercial exploitation at the guides, the people that are coming from Lower 48 and putting the pressure on the holes is a separate issue. I mean, I think that needs to be on the table here, you know. And so Alaskans should feed their families first. I think everybody, commercial fishermen and sports guys alike, can agree on that Alaskans should feed their families first. I mean, and there's enough resource to do that. And then the tourists can stand in line behind us, you know, and divide that, you know, and figure out how to go from there with the tourists and the commercial guys. But anyway, I invite you to, sorry for the speech, sir. He's grinning, going, shut up, we got lots of people who want to testify. But I invite you up to the valley and let's work on that this summer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll certainly take you up and I represent you, Logan.
Yes, if there's no other questions of Mr. McEwen, I have a conflict of interest that I'd like to state at this point, that I do have a fiduciary interest in a guiding service in Fort Muller, Alaska. And I do receive income off of both guided fisheries, tourism, and commercial fisheries, and I do have an advantage of having the more guided fishing and the more tourism-related activities in the Kenai Peninsula. I do receive more earnings, so I just wanted to state that.
I'm sorry, Ms. Hodges, you're going to have to stay here with the rest.
That's fine. I do plan on seeing a resolve to this issue if we can.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. McHugh. Let's go to Anchorage. Emmett Heidemann?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You state your name and go ahead, please.
My name is Emmett Heidemann, and I live in Eagle River, Alaska. I am not a salmon permit holder. I'm a sports fisherman, and I also do some guiding for only Alaskan sports fishermen. I don't like to take the tourists out. I've been listening to some of the comments about this FEST initiative and how they had 28,000 people so fast. They don't mention that they had paid signature gatherers gathering signatures in Mat-Su, Anchorage, Kenai, Soldotna areas. They were paid anywhere for about $1 a head. And when they were collecting these signatures, they were not 100% true. There has been very misleading information given out when they were collecting these signatures. So, gentlemen, I'd like you to realize that these 28,000 signatures were gathered, but they were paid for by a professional gatherer. The Fish Initiative, or this House Bill 149, I think the healthy, abundant salmon runs of Alaska enjoys today is the result of successful management plans developed by the Alaska Board of Fisheries and implemented by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The biologists are the ones that are calling the shots, and I think when we take the science out of fish management, we're making a big mistake. When it comes to maintaining the salmon production levels necessary to meet Alaska's goals of conservation and fair sharing, too many fish on the spawning grounds can be just as disruptive as the balance is too few. Management decisions that could lead to additional in-river efforts could be carefully addressed with an eye towards habitat protection. The preservation of our fragile fisheries resources is an important responsibility that can't be driven by the politics and misinformation. We've heard the term that commercial fish and sports fish are about a wash. Well, that term is sort of misleading. The value of a fish caught commercially is still higher than what a fish is caught sports fishing. Also, we've talked about habitat. No one has talked about the poor runs in the Mat-Su area. No one's talked about the large motors, the big jet boats are running up and down the rivers, the over building of houses right close to streams. I know there's one individual that brags about catching anywhere from 25 to 50 fish per hour from his deck on his house. He can cast right into the stream. There's very little enforcement up there. The commercial industry in the nets have nets in the rivers in the Mat-Su district. No one's talked about them. The streams are very small, and the guides are increasing at such a rate, and they're fishing these small streams all the time that they can guarantee their clients a success rate, and they're taking out an awful lot of fish. I think that we need to look at it all and work together and work for Alaska, not commercial versus sports. We need to work together and protect Alaska. The references in this bill, I see a lot of similarities with this bill and the Fish Initiative, and I take offense that the people try to put this same Fish Initiative in this bill 149 without changing the words, the intent, or the thinking. I think it's wrong, and I think it's a disservice to Alaska. And I am very opposed to House Bill 149. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. There in Anchorage, we have Margot Sherwood.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Margot Sherwood. I'm a domestic engineer. I live at 1640 Brink Drive, Anchorage. I am here to testify in support of House Bill 149. As wife, mother, and grandmother who feeds my offspring fish in their diets, I feel that the allocation of salmon are not fair. I have watched the number of fish caught in our Susitna drainages diminish over the last few years. I have listened to my husband and others give advice to the Fish Board and ADFNG in regards to slow decline of fish return, but in most cases, they, the board, and ADFNG ignored their pleas. Now that the fish are not coming back in numbers that will maintain a sustained yield, we, the sports fisher people, do not come out until it's silver time, and in not doing so have impacted the economy of the whole Mat-Su borough. And it isn't good to watch friends lose their businesses for the sake of the mistakes made by the Fish Board and ADFNG. All we ask is something to protect the economies of the valley and put an equal amount of fish on my table. I think this bill will do it. And I want to ask you one question. Mr. Chairman, I have a commercial fisherman friend, and he says they are not getting the fish. Neither are we at the Susitna drainage. Could the 400 or so set netters be the impact here? Thank you.
Margo, there's a number of people asking that same question, and we do not have an answer for it at this point in time. So hopefully during this fall we will come up with some of those answers with statewide hearings. Next in Anchorage is Don Sherwood.
Yes, my name is Don Sherwood, and I'm the president of the Alaska Boating Association. We have chapters in Anchorage, Namat Valley, and Fairbanks. I've come here to testify on behalf of my constituents, which are 90% fishermen and hunters. We support this piece of legislation because a lot of us have fished these areas for over 31 years. I have witnessed the diminishing returns of salmon on our rivers and streams within the Susitna drainage and the Upper Cook Inlet regions. For over 10 years, I have spoke with the Board of Fish and ADF and GBio people and warned them of the increased harvest of salmon by commercial and set netters below the mouth of the Big Sioux and has fallen on deaf ears until the Chinooks crashed on the Deska and other streams. And guess who got cut back? Yes, the sport fishermen. The Fish Board has always cow-cowed to the money makers and has allowed the record harvesting to continue. We are only asking for a fair and equitable share of our renewable resource. The Mat Valley, which depends on the economic income from sport and consumptive users, are now feeling these restrictions in over-the-counter sales by the people who recreate in this area. We realize that the crash and dash by ADF and G to try and rectify the problem has started. But is it too late in some of these areas? All we want is a fair share to put on our family's table, and this bill is a start in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sherwood. Appreciate your comments tonight. Because of the lateness of the hour, I'm going to cut this and bring this meeting to an end. For those people who are on teleconference and those people who want to testify here, I again apologize for the amount of time that it's taking. When we bring this bill back up 5 o'clock Monday, I will have a 3-minute time constraint on all testimony. So when you sit down and write your testimony, please keep that in mind. At this time at 6:56, we will adjourn the Fisheries Committee meeting.